singing now. Oh, it's
wonderful to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Did we take an incredible trip here last night? Was it camp meeting here last night? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord here last night? Give him another big hand clap of praise if you love him. Oh, blessed be the Lord. And to know, you know, the best part about that is to is to even think, Brother David, and believe with all your heart that you're part of it. You're part of the picture, Brother Terry. Thank God. Somebody say praise the Lord this morning. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand and tell them this. You're part of the picture. Boys, you're part of the picture. Might be a blade of grass, but I'm part of the picture. You don't play on this thing. Okay. You're part of the picture, buddy. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Oh, it's Beulah Land. I'm longing for you. And someday, look at our prayer request this morning, if you don't mind standing with me just for a few minutes. Well, actually, we've got quite a few. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes if you want to. Sister Estera Johnson says to please continue to remember Magdalena Carter and her family in prayer, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. She's believing the Lord for her healing, and let's just pray that her faith would be great and strong in the Lord. Amen. Sister Linda Jablonski wants us to remember her in prayer this morning. Her asthma has been bothering her very bad as of late. She gets really weak from the treatments, and she's just asking that we would remember her in prayer. Also, she has an unspoken prayer request. Sister Teresa White wants us to remember a Bob Tucker from Missouri. He was in an accident Wednesday the 4th, broke both legs, broke ribs, his pelvic, femur bones. Also pray for guidance for the doctors to be able to repair the damage. So let's pray that the Lord would guide their hands and he would be well. Brother Keith wants us to remember Sister Natalie in prayer this morning. She's having another bladder attack today. So let's pray that the Lord would touch our sister. Sister Mary Mae wants us to remember her in prayer. She's going to have knee surgery this coming Tuesday. So let's pray that the Lord would be with her during that time. The Bean family wants us to remember Ed and Sharon Binkley. They were in an automobile accident last night in Manchester. They have minor injuries. They were hit by the front airbags, which caused most of their injuries. While checking for broken bones at the emergency room, a cyst or growth was found on Sharon's spine at the base of her skull that was unrelated to the accident. She was transferred to St. Thomas Hospital for further tests. They need God's help in this situation and ask for your continued prayer. So let's remember those folks today. Sarah Baker Ellis says to please pray for her husband, England Ellis. He needs a job, but most of all, he needs Christ in his life. So we want to remember that need today. Remember Sister Maria Sponsia. She still needs her prayers, recovering from surgery. So let's pray that the Lord would touch our sister, be with her. Sister Connie Badillo says to please pray for Laverne Statsme. She is in the hospital. So let's remember that person. I hope I got that name right. Brother Jamie Hayden says to remember a co-worker in prayer. He asked that we would all pray for him. Many things going on in his life, but most of all, he needs the Lord in his soul. So let's pray for that need as we pray today. Mr. and Mrs. Charles Hamilton sends this in. I and my husband are at the crossroad. Would like for the church to pray that we make a right decision. My husband needs a touch from the Lord in his body. His knees have been hurting for the past 3 or 4 months. Pray for me as well as I've been suffering with a migraine for the past 3 months. So let's remember those folks in prayer. I want to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy. He's been very sick for several days. Also pray for Sister Linda Kennedy. She's been down in her back for several weeks. So let's remember those folks. I want to pray for Brother Greg Robbins as he continues to have a bad cough, other complications. Let's pray for Brother Greg today. I want to pray for the family of Brother Joseph Coleman, passed away on Thursday. As many of you know, he had an assembly there, I believe, in New York. He passed away this past week on Thursday. So let's pray for that congregation, that family, as they go through this time. Brother Jerry Glenn wants us to remember him in prayer as he goes for a prostate biopsy on Tuesday morning. So let's pray that all will be well with him. Sister Rachel Scott sends us in to please pray for my husband. He's not feeling well. Also, they have a pet that's been sick. They're asking that the Lord would just be mindful of that need. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something this morning you'd like for this assembly to pray about, aren't you glad we're serving a great big God? Aren't you glad we're serving a great big God? He's not only big, he is great. And he's greatly to be praised. We love him, don't we? Let's stand this morning, Brother Daniel, if you'll come at this time. Take us to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite his presence into this service. Commit all these needs unto the Lord, that God would be mindful of all these situations. I believe Brother Tim said the Vegas are sick this morning. Also, Brother Tracy. How many of you enjoyed Brother Tracy's song last night? Wasn't that good? Amen. Amen. But he's not feeling well today, and he has to be remembered in prayer. Brother Daniel, God bless you. Appreciate Brother Daniel, don't we? Amen. God bless you.
I was reading a story about a girl that was... her father was an airplane pilot, and they was flying across the Atlantic Ocean, and there was a storm came up, and the steward went and woke the girl up and told her to fasten her seatbelt that they was in a storm. And the girl looked up at the steward and said, "Is my father in the cockpit?" And she said, "Yes, he's in the cockpit." And she turned over with a smile on my face and went back to sleep. And when I heard that story, I thought, is God in control of our life this morning? Amen. If he's at the control panel, amen, Brother Terry, we can rest in peace. Amen. Don't have nothing to worry about, do we? Amen. Let's pray over these requests this morning. Heavenly Father, I love you so much, Lord. You mean so much to me. And God, this congregation, as we stand today, Heavenly Father, bringing our petitions and our requests before you, we are so thankful for you, Lord. Thank you for the service that was in last night. God, we feel like that we was quickened from the dead. In so much, God, that there were so many things that brought out that we had never recognized before. God, we thank you for the ministry. Thank you for the ministry in this church and what they mean to us. Heavenly Father, we pray now for these requests that I hold in my hand. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you move for each one of them. So many people that were sick and need healing. One family even had death, God. We pray, Lord, that you'll just intervene, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we know that there's coming a day when we won't have to worry about sickness and death and pain. And God, we long for that time. God, we pray for those over the internet and tapes. Move for them, God. Move for our people in our church. God, we commit this service completely in your hands. May your Holy Ghost take complete charge. Help us, God, that we'll get out of the way. Take control of each part of this service. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. Those that are streaming this service, may God richly bless those folks as well. They have DVDs of the Christmas program available in the library. It's a gift, one per family. Is it just for those that were in the program, that family gets one? Help me on this. Somebody clarify. Does everybody in the church get one, or just the ones that was in the program gets one? Well, thank you, Mr. Stingy. I asked it of Brother Ronnie. God bless you. Most of you just, if you want one, get your billfold out, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how that all works. Anyway, let me make another announcement. We'll sing a song. Get me out of this. Brother John, if you come onto the platform, be getting ready right now. Brother Donnie, is going to be speaking at Brother Bill Yance's church tonight at 6 o'clock. You're all invited to go. So if you can go, I'm sure it would be a blessing to you. It'd be another camp meeting.
That's right.
I promise you that. So let's all plan on doing that, the Lord willing. He'll be there at 6 o'clock tonight preaching for Brother. You know, we heard Brother Bill last night say he's limited to about one service a week. And so they asked Brother Donnie to come and minister, and he's going to do that, and we're just going to go back him up. Is that right? Amen. Let's sing a song. Brother John, you getting geared up over there? All right. Let's sing a song. I thank God for the lighthouse. Aren't you glad for the light that has shined on you? Yes, I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Let me just say this. Brother Bill, place of worship is up on the four lanes. So there have been some questions that where the church was at, but it's the new church up on the four lanes. So remember that. Brother Harvey, you and Sister Shirley Lunsford, come on to the platform. Be getting ready to sing for us after Brother John. Brother John, God bless you this morning.
Someone asked me to sing this song for them today.
Before I met Jesus, my life was empty and vain. And nothing ahead could I see but sorrow and pain. But then at an altar one night I knelt, I found assurance that never has left, and Jesus was right for what was wrong in my life. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Just give him a chance and Jesus will prove that every promise he made is true. For Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word. Just open your Bible, read it till God's voice you've heard. Then at an altar in repentance kneel, you'll find assurance, and you'll know it's real. For Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Just give him a chance and Jesus will prove that every promise he made is true. For Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Just give him a chance and Jesus will prove that every promise he made is true. For Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Yes, Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life.
Stand this morning, if you will. Let's sing a chorus as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord today.
Go ahead and sing this, Brother Eddie Yance. I sung this a month or so ago, and he said I could sing it every service, but I'll give you a little bit of a break. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding. Lord, the mountain's too high. You know this valley's too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I've learned to stand. But I can't even walk without.
Luke chapter 15, verse 20. We'll read through verses 24. I'd like to speak to you again today on quickened from the dead. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now let's read this quote from the Smyrnian Church Age. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed and therefore were reborn. For only the elect can be reborn, not saved now. All kinds of folks other than the elect can be saved, but not reborn. Listen carefully. We were seed and therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. Can they be saved? Certainly. Can they have eternal life? Will they be granted eternal life? Absolutely. But yet not quickened. You go out and you say you want to reap a garden whenever summertime comes, and you go out and pick out a spot in your yard or out in a field somewhere, and you just say, now about July, August, I want tomatoes, cucumbers, all that sort of thing. And then you just sow those words and you never do anything about it. And then go back in July and see if you have them. Okay? Right? Do you think you will? You don't? Well, why? You mean to tell me because you've sowed your word, you don't think that you'll get a garden? In order to get that garden, you'll have to plant seed. And that seed will have to be quickened and go through a process to come up. Same with God. God knew he was going to have a church. So in order to have that, guess what? He had to sow seed. Let's pray together. Father, we appreciate your grace and love to us today. We're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you've called us to yourself. And we know that your great benevolent nature is so that, as Peter wrote about you and said, that you were not willing that any should perish. And we know that that word willing means desirous of you, a setting forth of your nature or your purpose. You never willed that people would be lost. As a matter of fact, you wasn't willing that they would be, but yet you knew that they would. But you wished, desired that all men would come to repentance, but yet you knew all men would not. So in order to have a people, you predestinated a people like unto yourself. Father, I pray you would take your word today and enlighten us, Lord Jesus. May we see ourselves in the book of redemption. Granted, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. May be seated, friends. Certainly appreciate you today. So if we were seed, we needed to be reborn, or as Jesus said in St. John 3, born from above. To have another birth, to come to life, to be quickened from the dead. Will the Spirit of God quicken every mortal? No, he will not. Will the Spirit of God quicken every portion of dirt that has ever been on the earth? He will not. Only that portion of dirt that contains seed. Amen. Now, to think of God's great mercy and His grace, that He would reach beyond His own kind, His own genus, that God would offer mercy and salvation to the masses that were not even of His own nature. You look at it this way, that if one of our children was to go with someone from the church or a friend of theirs from school or work, and they were to go out into the woods somewhere and they wanted to go out looking around a little bit, and they got turned around. Well, they didn't know the signs that a hunter would know, in that he would put his fingers, lock his fingers around a tree and spin around that tree this way until he found the heaviest bark, and knowing that when he found the heaviest bark, that was the north side of the tree. Or he would not know which direction to look at the rocks that were laying on that mountainside, and to be able to see which was the shaded side, and to know that that was the north side. And you and others begin to hear that your son was lost, your daughter was lost, and you went to searching for them. Now, what kind of a cruel person would you be if you go out there and you search and you search and you hunted and you hunted, and you finally find your son and his friend? And yet you would go to your son and you'd say, come on, son, we're going back to the house. But as for you, you stay here. You're not allowed to come back with us. Now, would any of you do that? You wouldn't. You mean you would lead that individual out of that lost condition, even though they were not your son or daughter? Now, whenever you would lead them out of that condition, would you, leading them out, make them your son or daughter? No. But it would make them saved. And you rendered unto them the work of salvation, and you saved them from perishing. Glory to God. When He came to this earth, He found all of us in a lost state. But according to the book of Matthew, He came to seek and save that which was lost, those who was on the book of life. And looking through the wilderness and looking through the paths, He found others that were lost as well. Amen. And He offered them, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. And many of them responded. Will they become bride? No. Will they believe the message of the hour? Absolutely not. It will mean nothing to them. They'll only go as far as accepting Him as Savior, have to go through the tribulation period and be purged. But yet they will be saved. Now, God, in His great providence, knowing that there would be those that would be saved, so He went to prepare a place big enough for both groups. So He makes a city that will involve the redeemed. And He makes a redeemed earth and will annihilate the seas to contain the rest of them, which will way outnumber, no doubt, the redeemed. Because the redeemed are considered the tithing of the earth. Right. But yet the others will worship, they will come up and bring all of these things into the temple of God. Can you imagine as they walk into the streets, oh my, and they walk under those gigantic gates of pearl, and they mention one to another, wonder what it must be like to live here all the time. Wonder what it must be like to never have to leave. If you can understand it, they do the same thing today. When they behold a real son or daughter of God who has been germatized to the Word, and they see a walk there that they themselves can never attain to. It's just reflecting there in the city what's going on right now.
Now, whenever God began to lay out His program from the foundation of the world, and there were certain parts that God designed in time, and there was things that were eternal. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I've been studying on things that are eternal. And you realize that the things, many of the things that you and I know about, most of them are only expressed in time and don't exist in time. God expresses an attribute or a feeling of an emotion which He will express only in time, and that is an expression of anger. God gets angry. God gets upset. But yet that is not an eternal attribute from His being. That anger is entirely only based upon God's relation to sin. There was no anger expressed before sin became expressed on the earth. So it is an attribute that God has chosen to express only in time in dealing with sin. God got angry at Moses because Moses disobeyed the word. God got angry at the children of Israel because they disobeyed the word. But will there be a need for this attribute in the city? There will not be. Nobody will disobey. So there are many things then that God chose to deal with in time, that when time rolls back into the cycle of eternity, they will no longer be needed. God chose healing, but yet in that great city, there will be no need of healing. You ever notice in the book of Hebrews, when Paul wrote about the everlasting covenant? You ever wonder why he didn't call it eternal? Because there is no eternal blood covenant needed for the bride. The everlasting covenant one day will be over. That's a lot to chew on, I know. But once it's rolled back into the very thoughts of God being expressed on the earth, you will not need a blood atonement between you and Father God. Your faith will end in sight. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, with the evidence of things not seen. You will no longer need the kind of faith you have now to believe in God, for that faith will be terminated when you see Him at that day. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But yet while we're in time, God chose many things in the element of time to be able to use, to be able to project His program of what He wanted to do. Now we looked at a couple of them last night, and I'd like to tap back on it just a little bit before we go further this morning. And that is on the type of the eighth day. Now the eighth day, for some folks in the message, of course, they try to take the eighth day and actually make it another dispensation of time. And they want to pick a man that's going to be the messenger of the eighth day and all that gum. And that ain't nothing but a scarecrow. The devil try to scare us away from the real truth. But there is a real truth of the eighth day. And in that, it's not there's going to be some man from New York or some man from Johnson City or some man from somewhere else that's going to be that messenger. But the eighth day is actually back to the first day again, which brings you back into eternity. But yet God chose to call it the eighth day. Now watch this in Leviticus 23:36. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord on the eighth day. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall not do no several work therein. And yet there's not 8 days, but yet God calls it an eighth day. Again, Leviticus 23:39. Also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land. The 15th day of the 7th month. Glory. When you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord. That's why I tell you, friend, if you're starving to death, you're going to the wrong place. This is not a time of famine for the bride. It ought to be a time of feasting. And we're not feasting on the words of a man. We're feasting on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man, Christ Himself. And notice this, when you gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Now again, in Leviticus 23:10, let me remind you again of the way of sheep, speaking to the children of Israel, saying to them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, which is what? The eighth day. So here the Paschal Lamb, also a type for by Christ, he will answer exactly the same on the 14th day of the month, on the 15th day of the month, then you move on to the 16th day of the month, and the model after the Sabbath, you're supposed to count 50 days, and then it comes to the next feast, which is the Feast of Pentecost. And all of these happen on what day? The 8th day or the morrow after the Sabbath. So you count 7 Sabbaths, 7 church ages, and the morrow after those church ages will be another dispensation. Leviticus 23:15, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete, even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath. So here is the morrow or the day after the 7th Sabbath, which is the 50th day or the 8th day in the sequence of weeks. And you shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. These are the first fruits unto the Lord. Now Christ, of course, typified the Passover sheaf that was waved, but his people typified the wave loaves. Y'all believe this? Now, in verse 18, you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, 1 young bullock, 2 rams, they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire of sweet savour unto the Lord. Now, of course, note there's no sin offering offered with the wave sheep because there was none needed. But with the wave loaves, because they were baking with leaven, which shows the humanity and the deity mixed together, you still must have an atonement that will be there until the humanity has been changed. Glory, glory. Notice this in the rising of the sun. Brother Bram said, he was waved at the day of Pentecost. Now notice when he ascends on the Mount of Olives, he waves goodbye to the people and he's with them for 40 days. Now Pentecost comes 50 days after, of course, the fast of Passover. So they had to wait 10 more days in Jerusalem until the right day. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, and they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. So here the Lord Jesus is taken up. He's waved after the atonement has been made, but he must be waved again. Now notice it is him that is waved above them before they can be waved. Oh, glory. They cannot be waved just by theology. They cannot be waved just by quoting the word, but he comes back by experience. He was waved at the day of Pentecost when there come a sound from heaven like a waving, mighty, rushing wind. For those of you that wasn't in the service last night, that same Jesus is here waving himself around too. To be honest with you, I didn't know if he was going to make it out of this place alive. Woo, it took me I don't know how long to come down out from under the anointing. Even after I got home, I thought, Lord, that's the way it's going to be one of these days. That presence of God is going to come down and we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. What's that here? Brother Branham again in paragraph 230 of the Future Home. Notice the 8th day Jesus raised for our justification. Now do you realize Jesus, Peter, Paul, James, Bartholomew, Jim, Orville, Buzz, Donnie, and all the rest of you that's born of the Spirit of God, we've all got the same birthday. It's the 8th day. We're all born on the same day. So we'll all have one happy birthday party after a while. Now watch what God is doing to this first seed. God allowed that seed to go through the channel of death in order to annihilate death. So in order to destroy death, he must experience it. So he takes death in into his bosom, as it were, that he from death could destroy death. Now the body of Jesus laying there in the tomb, cold, limp, lifeless. And he needed a resurrection. And God chose what day? The first day of the week or Sunday. Now notice, this is the resurrection of the seed. So the seed was not raised on Shabbat or Sabbath. It was not raised in the church ages. Glory! But it was raised on the eighth day. Now watch, he said the eternal king with the eternal kingdom to be baptized into eternal life. Not 7 days. Had nothing to do with any of the days. It's speaking of another eternal coming. Of an eternal time, the world that I'm speaking of. So the eighth day is what? It simply reverts back to the first day again. Now remember, eternity is like a circle. So let's start the days of the week in this circle, okay? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Are y'all seeing daylight? So when you move out of the ages, you move out of your own labor, you move out of you struggling to be a Christian and you trying to do this and you trying to do that, and you move out of time into eternity, you move back into the cycle you were in before you become a mortal. So if there's some part of me that was eternal, if I can move out of time and get back into that, I'm back in eternity where I was. So the eighth day then is back to the first with a new beginning, new creation. Notice again how he says in future home. Again, when he deals with this, he says, after 50 days or 7 Sabbaths, from there again, there come another holy convocation. What happened? The Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. On the eighth day. Seventh day, then he says eighth day. When 7 Sabbaths later, exactly after his resurrection, so it'd be 7 times out again, ring it right back around to the first day of the week again. There is your holy convocation. Not have anything to do with the literal thing. It's beyond that. It's into the kingdom of God with eternal life. With the predestinated that never did start. Hang on to your false teeth, because here we go wide open. It never started on any day. You wasn't saved on any day. You always was saved. Well, Brother Donnie, you go to preaching that. You know what you're going to produce? I do. I realize what this is going to produce. A rapture. A rapture. So if the first harvest was a barley harvest, you go out and take a handful of the sheaf, you cut it down. They would take it in and bruise it. Bruise it. And then wait it. So you are waiting what the rest of the whole field is. So you wouldn't cut down barley and wave it over a hog. Suey, suey, here, piggy, 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 here, suey, suey. But you wave seed over seed. So if God desired to produce a rapture in this day, what do you reckon he's got to produce over it? And wave over it. If you're going into a resurrection, and we will be part of that cause of there being a resurrection, then what would you need to wave so Peter could get up? You would need to wave a people who are resurrected themselves. So if Jesus wanted to produce a resurrection on the eighth day of Pentecost, what did he produce? What did he wave over the people? I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. So you wave what you want to produce. So if I desire to produce a church on this hill, which is an organizational thing that follows me and makes me the epitome of what the message is, then I should preach me. I should preach how great I am, how wonderful I am. But of course, I'm not supposed to lie, so I couldn't preach that. Because I ain't wonderful and you ain't neither. But if we want to be partakers of the rapture, then you tell me, what should I preach? What should I wave over you, Happy Valley? If I want to get you in such harmony with God that the power of the resurrection can so flow through our bodies that the power that will raise us is in us this morning. Oh, glory. Notice this, you wasn't saved on any day. You was always saved. Jesus come to redeem that, but you were saved, glory, from the beginning because you had eternal life to begin with. And the next, very next paragraph, this doctor of theology from Cambridge University and from Moody and from all of that makes these great, profound theological terms. A trout fish can never be a gar or a tadpole. What in the world has that got to do with the above paragraph? Everything. Notice he says that Ed only called him, but he was that from the beginning. We live through all these types in here, but when you hit the eighth, you go into eternity. You don't come by laws and rituals and orders. You come by predestination. There is a genuine holy convocation, and we're ending the seventh church age. And the church said, the Pentecostal age, so you see it. We're entering that holy convocation. We're entering into that real, genuine eternity. Do we get there as a church? Do we get there as a message group? No, we get there as an individual. You and I ain't going together. It's not you and your family and your uncle and your grandpa and all that. We're going as individuals. Now notice that the last part of this quote, he says, you have passed into eternity. Where do you come from? You mean, a part of you was in eternity and then broke down into this increment called time. And while you were in time, you got synchronized just enough to step beyond this realm back into eternity while you were still in time. You said that's the most bizarre thing I ever heard. You mean you've never read it in the scripture where Jesus said, the Son of Man which is on the earth, which is in heaven? The Son of Man which is on the earth, which is in heaven. And what was it? It was a blending of those dimensions. And where did they blend? In His body. Don't you understand they are blending today in you? Something inside of you that's just as eternal as God is. And yet here we are, we're getting older and gray haired and weakness and sickness among us. But those dimensions are blending together where? In this tabernacle of humanity. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, through the church ages, the fullness was lost. It goes into darkness. Whenever the wave sheaf is waved over the Pentecostal seed on the day of Pentecost, it anoints them and prepares them for an age and a time of suffering and burial. Now, they must be quickened by eternal life. But they're not going to be quickened to be raptured then. They're going to be quickened to be buried. Because the bride seed is going to come through seven successive ages. And God must quicken that bride seed. Now God was not going to let the Son of Man Christ be buried again and come up. But now He wants a bride seed. So in order to get a bride seed, that bride seed has got to be quickened. So he comes down himself and waves himself over the people and quickens them and raises them from the dead. And then they go out by the words of life and start imparting this life to others. And others become quickened. One here, one there, one here, one there. What are they doing? Giving birth to more of those seeds of God. But those seeds were ordained to death. Under the martyrdom of the Catholic Church, the popes and the Roman bishops and the Roman emperors and all this. You understand? But now, had they not been quickened first, you and I wouldn't be here today. It would be like burying a dead seed. But the Logos came himself and quickened them. Then you bury Paul. Then you bury John. Then you bury Peter. Not only will Peter get up, but that spiritual bride seed that they represented started in the Reformation coming out. Couldn't God have delivered them? Certainly he could have. But yet God had other ages in his mind. Us. Now when Luther comes out in the Reformation, is he the mature bride form? Absolutely not. Starts in the feet. And he certainly does not look quite like went into the ground. But yet it was the life growing up. But there must come a time when the fullness would return to the earth again. So will it be a denomination that'll bring it? Will it be a group that'll bring it? No. No, watch this. In the rising of the sun, he says, he was waved on the day of Pentecost when there came a sound of heaven like a waving body rushing wind and was waved over the people, the Pentecostal people that was up on Pentecost waiting for the blessing to come. And to be waved again, we realize in the last day, according to Luke 17:30, in the Sunday again. So now there has to be another waving. Now remember, friend, this waving is not Brother Branham. Because if it was Brother Branham, it means it was Brother Branham who was waved over Peter. You can't have it again unless it was the one that was waved the first time. Can't you see, for those folks in the message who think Brother Branham has to come back, they've totally missed the waving of the Son of Man. They think there has to be a re-waving of Brother Branham because that's where they think the life lays in Brother Branham. So they've totally missed the waving of the Son of Man himself. And that's why they think Brother Branham must come back. And that's why many of them look at this preacher and that preacher and that one. That one. They're looking for a leader. Why? They missed the last sermon that he preached, leadership. They missed himself going beyond the menorah, the seven-branch candlestick, going into the holy place. And they've come to the church ages and there they have stopped. They've come to the seven angels and there they have stopped. But there's a voice beyond the veil calling the bride, come on in, sweetheart. Come on in behind the veil, sweetheart. What's in behind the veil? Eternity. So according to Luke 17:30, on the Sunday, in the Son, S-O-N of man, he spells it when he says this on the tape, will be revealed or waved again over the people. Now remember, the ministry of the Son of Man was not Brother Branham. He tells us plenty of normal in time. A Son of Man revealing. God could have waved Brother Branham. God waved Brother Branham's gift for many, many years over the Pentecost. What did it produce? Impersonation. Well, don't get mad. God waved Brother Branham for many, many years and it never produced a rapture. But God was going to use a Son of Man and let his body become the habitation that the fine flower through the humanity, oh glory, that the deity of God, it could be Jesus himself impersonating himself in the last day by using a prophet's body. Or may I say it to you the way he said it in Who is Jesus, Topeka, 1964. Now the time has come that we must recognize who's in our city today. The Lord Jesus himself, impersonated in human flesh. So now that Brother Branham is gone, reckon where the Son of Man is. Now that Brother Branham has been gone for all these years, I wonder where the pillar of fire is. I wonder where that great divine presence of the mighty one is. Watch this again, the rising of the sun. Now actually says this about being waved again, the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was made flesh and dwelt among us. We see today in the book of Luke here, as we quoted from in Luke the 17th chapter and the 30th verse in Malachi 4, and the different scriptures that we're acquainted with, that Word, again, is waved. That Word. You mean so it's not just Brother Brown? You mean it's not just to give, your name is Sally so-and-so, the street steps going up to your house, that it's not just that. The Son of Man is the Word to be waved, to be waved over the people again. The Word again is waved over the people. That the dead traditions of man is dead. And the Spirit, Son of God, is alive again with the baptism of the Holy Spirit right among us and is giving us life. So this is what we're to look for as a Son of Man. So if we was wanting a tribulation church, we should preach a loose gospel and rock the people in a lullaby of worldliness. And that's what preachers are doing. Rocking them in a lullaby instead of a state of separation coming in the presence of God. They are giving them exactly and preparing them for the tribulation period. And that's what they're waving. Or they make excuse for their sin. Make excuse for their shortcoming. Well, you got a preacher in the pulpit that ain't born again in the first place. How and what can he lead you to? A new birth if he ain't got one. How can message folks lead their congregation to a new birth when many of our preachers don't even have it? Oh, Lord, I'm going to get killed. Sure as a world. Watch this. As Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets and so forth, also typed in many places, he was the first fruits of Phyllis' lap. I want you to listen to this profound statement. In the bride coming of Christ. In the bride coming of Christ. Amen. So is that the second coming? Or come, well, not exactly, but exactly. The bride coming of Christ. Well, is this the tribulation period coming? No. Is this Revelation 19? No. Notice this coming. Who it's identified with? The bride coming. So apparently, this is who he's got on his mind. Now, if you notice him in Revelation 5 and also in Revelation 10, when he stands there, he has a little book in his hands. Now, of course, that would not be dealing with all the massive humanity that has lived upon the earth, because that would be a great big book. Of course, if he's dealing with a little flock, you wouldn't need but a little book. So the contents of that little book, amen, is going to be dealing with a certain class of people upon the earth. So they actually have their own coming. Now friends, if you keep your nose stuck in stinking televisions and you keep your nose stuck in ball games and all kinds of trash of this world, this stuff ain't going to make not one lick of sense to you. But if you want to get out of this world, I would advise you to listen to what's been said and become a part of this world if you want to leave this world. If you want to stay here, then go right ahead and get drunk on the cares of this world. But if you want to get out of here, you better get under this waving of the end time. You better get under this waving of the Word so we can leave this place. Now watch this statement. He says, in the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church, there'll have to be a sheaf waved again in the last days. Oh my, he says, waving of the sheaf. What was the sheaf? The first one to come to mature. The first one that proved it was wheat. That proved it was a sheaf. Hallelujah, he says. I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. It was waved over the people. Now watch this spiritual symbolism. And the first time there will come forth for the bride age. Which is not Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. But a day after the seven Sabbaths. Lord Jesus. There will first come, the first time that will come forth for the bride age, a resurrection out of dark denominationalism. Now you realize many folks left the Baptist church, but they brought this dark spirit of denominationalism with them into the message. That's why they get under this man or that man or that man, and that man will be as far off the word as he can be, and they'll still stick with that man. You know why? They're still in the spirit of organization. Amen. But your prophet said, when a man leaves that word, you leave that man. And I heard him say before I come to church this morning, he said, if your pastor says something contrary to the word, he's a feeder of the hens and not a feeder of the eagles. So you might be going to a hen house instead of a church house. If your pastor ain't preaching the word. So there has to be a resurrection out of dark denominationalism. Now with a message that the full maturity of the word has turned back again in its full power and being waved. Notice now he doesn't say him. He doesn't say, I'm going to be waved in every service. Brother Bram, Brother Bram, Brother Bram, Brother Bram, Brother Bram, and Brother Bram done this and Brother Bram done that. Boy, they're going to wave me every time they gather together. Oh, everything's going to be about me. Preachers who do that are lying. They think they're doing something to the people. They're damning them is what they're doing. You'll never produce a rapture by waving any man over the people. It's got to be the word. We met a pope at a Brother Branham. Get quiet on him if you want to. It's the truth. Folks have made idols out of the tapes. They're not interested so much in living them, just talking about them. Now watch what's to happen. The full maturity of the word has turned back. So if the thought of God in this age is to turn people back to young men and women, wouldn't he need a turning back message? If God would have sent this kind of word in the days of Luther, the rapture would have took place and there would have never been a Wesleyan move. Do you realize this thing is building in such momentum and God opening His Word? Oh my, not new things, not things that we're having to search out, things that's been laying right here for years and years. And God ain't just doing it on this hill, God's doing it around the world and the devil can't stop it. Do you know what it's doing? It's going to produce a rapture! It's going to produce a resurrection! It's going to become so great in our being, it will change us! Glory to God! So the word is turned back again in its full power, being waved over the people. Seize not air of the shuck. At the opening of the seven seals, Revelation 10, But the opening of the seven seals, Revelation 10, the full word is to be born into manifestation again. Not justification, not sanctification, not restoration of gifts, but the full word. That's why one doctrine preacher scares the liver out of me. Peter wasn't a one doctrine preacher. James wasn't a one doctrine preacher. When justification needed to be preached, they preached it. When sanctification needed to be preached, they preached it. I don't want to be a one doctrine preacher. I want to be a full word preacher. If you need your hide burned, I want to burn it. If you need your hide loved, I want to love it. Whatever you need, I want to be a full word born preacher that can preach the full word. Notice the word, full word is to be born into manifestation again and vindicated by the Spirit of God in the full strength. That's when He was on the earth. Manifested in the same way, doing the same things that it did when He was here on earth. Amen. Hebrews 13:8 said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Luke 17:30, Jesus said in the last days as it was in the days of Sodom, when the Son of Man will be revealing Himself again, it'll be the same thing. I heard Brother Bram say something the other day and it broke my heart. He said, I don't care when I'm gone if people ever even knew I lived. If they never even knew I existed. I don't need no big buildings built in my name or my honor. But he said, if they can get one thing, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We built the big buildings in honor of Brother Branham. We built the memorials. We built all kinds of things. We made great accolades and oh my, we made Him everything, you know, but deity Himself. And some have even done that. And it was the very opposite of what He wanted. The one thing He wanted was that people would know by His simple life that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever. I ask you, Happy Valley, have we paid Him back? Do we honor His flesh? Or do we honor the God that He loves so much? And can we see Hebrews 13:8 in us? Many of you only see it when you play a tape and you are pitiful. Because you are serving a historical God. Can't you see, friends, why it's so important that we wave? That we wave the word that's needed to produce this strength in you. When Peter got the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, then Peter jumped over and said, glory to God, I'll tell you one thing, y'all better get to Moses, and you better get to Elijah, and you better get to Jeremiah. Peter quoted what they said. But when they asked him what they must do, he didn't give him a tape or a book. He gave them a prescription. Glory! Dr. Simon Peter! Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. You shall receive a tape. You shall receive a pastor. You shall receive a church. You shall receive the Holy Ghost. So if I constantly wait, Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham, John the Baptist, Paul, Elijah, Moses, I wave all that over you. What am I going to produce? A school of prophets. What if I wave over you things that I don't even understand myself? Things that I preach that when the anointing moves on that gift and carries me into heavenly places and I come down and takes me hours and sometimes even halfway through the night to think, Lord, have mercy, where were we tonight? Where did we go? How did we get out there and how did we get back? And I didn't want to come back. Should I wave over you past of what He was? Or should I wave over you something in the future? Or should I not wave over you the revealed word for now that will lead you to a change? keep waving. Notice this again, the rising of the sun. I don't know if you knew this or not before, but listen to this. Brother Ben's quoting Jesus. Because I live, you live also. Speaking to his wife. Lord Jesus. Because I live, you live also. Listen to this, friends. What a resurrection that was. And what a resurrection this. What form of Christendom around the world does not preach that Jesus raised from the dead? But how many of them preach that we have? Oh, the message, folks, they emphasize the resurrection. All right, they're looking for Brother Branham's. But what about theirs? If Brother Branham did come back, what would he re-preach? Would he preach the seventh seal again or the third pole again and again to make some of you hard heads understand it? For those who's got the Holy Ghost, they don't need it re-preached. Glory! What a resurrection that was! What a resurrection this is! To be quickened from the dead. There we were in those systems. Our arms were crossed and our caskets. We had our Baptist garb on, our Church of God garb, our message garb. We were dead. People walked by and said, what a good brother. He's a good church member. He believes every word Brother Benham said. That's a whole lot easier to say than it is to do. And all of a sudden, a big eagle come over that graveyard. There you were, dead as dead could be in the Methodist church. There you were in the Baptist church, a Pentecostal, out there sitting on a bar stool somewhere, or some of you was in a message church. You still ain't got your resurrection just because you heard Brother Branham even believe he was a prophet. Tell me which one of them men up there in the upper room didn't believe Moses was a prophet. Tell me which one didn't believe Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hananiah, or whatever those men, they did not believe they were prophets and they was not quickened. You don't get quickened by believing a prophet. You get quickened by receiving life. There you were, just as happy in one way as you could be. Just as smug in your casket, Brother Rob. You had your makeup on and your lips were all pooched out. There you were. Oh, my. All them corpses roll in on Sunday morning and you shook hands with all the rest of the dead and you went to church. Oh, oh glory! Glory to God! But the prophet said, you remember my story about the eagle and the farmer who robbed the eagle's nest and put that egg under his chicken. And he said, when that little eagle was hatched out, he was a funny looking little bird. Glory. He said he'd go around and the rest of them chickens and cheep and cheep and cheep. And he said that old mother here said, come here honey and eat this worm. Come here honey and eat that bug. But he said he was an eagle. But he said that mother sitting up there and she got to thinking, this egg is in my mind. I know I laid another egg. I don't know where it's at and it's lost to me. Glory! It's lost to me. I don't know where it is. But here she goes. And she sets out, soaring over the mountains, down through the valleys. And she passed over the First Baptist, the barnyard. And there she saw him. And she banks, and swirls around. She comes. comes back around and looks at him and says, yeah, that's my attribute. Oh, glory to God. That's my son. He was in my mind and I laid him in the nest. There he is. Oh, glory to God. Brother Ram said all them chickens would look at him and say, oh, he's an odd bird. Now, this eagle didn't practice magic. But she flew over the barnyard and said, abracadabra, abracadoo. I'm going to spread my eagle claws over you. He was already an eagle. Didn't need magic. All he needed was to hear her voice. Oh, glory. Now here he was walking around in that barnyard. Dead to who he was. Dead to his mother's fellowship. Lost to the real identity of an eagle. Can you imagine that big old eagle with them big long claws going to a hen house? And sit down on a roost pole at night. And them big claws that overlap one another. And he'd sit there and teeter and totter back and forth. Trying to set to rest them little chickens. He'd sit there and say, ain't this wonderful? Ain't this wonderful? Oh, I love this coop. I love this hen house. And the rooster pastor come up. He's not the same yesterday, today, forever. You better get rid of them tape. That old eagle sit there and roll them big eyes. Said, I don't know who I am, but I know I ain't that. Oh, glory! I don't know where I belong, but I don't belong here. Hallelujah! You imagine the last day of his roosting. In the hen house. He flies down and thinks, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more than going to work, coming home. Going to work, coming home. Kids, grandkids, eating, bills, troubles. There's got to be more. So he'd walk around out there and that old mama would say, honey, here's a cockroach, fresh, just for you. Because you got that funny looking beak, I'll help you eat it. And he'd say, oh God. Oh God. All of a sudden, here she comes. Somehow she feels, today might be the day that her voice can cause a resurrection. So she looks and she looks and she finds him. Of course, since she's not a chicken, it takes her a little bit of space to kind of turn around, you know. So she goes out and banks and comes back around. Kind of swoops back down again. It's him. That's my boy. Brother Bram said she let out a scream. And then he says, oh, for that resurrection. Why, that scream! Initiate. Do you understand, church, that you have been quickened from the dead? What initiated the scream of the Son of Man? That's why join the church. Join the church. Do this, do that. It would never raise you from the dead. It must be a re-waving again. She had to wave herself over that little eagle. And she screamed out. Brother Bam said, she said, son, you're an eagle. So he said he looked up in the heavens. But he was always taught to look down, as chickens do. Well, them things are too deep. We are weak people and went crazy trying to understand them things. Enoch didn't. Elijah didn't go crazy, went to heaven. So Brother Branham said he heard that scream. And she's waving. Said he looks up there and she called him son. He said, Mama. Mama. Oh Lord God. For the first time in his life, when he's saying this, it seems right. Oh glory. No wonder when we was in those churches and we'd talk about God and talk about the cross and talk about those things that didn't make no sense and we didn't understand it, but now we're hearing some of the same simple things and it just sounds right. Brother Bram said he looked up there and he saw her 14-foot wings. And she called him her son. Not a chicken changed to an eagle. He always was. And he said, Mom, what can I do? She said, jump, honey. You're an eagle to begin with. So before his rapture, he was in such communication with his parent. This parent was communicating who he was, his destiny, his full potential of where he come from and where he's going. Now she's waving over him so he can start waving. Don't you understand? In order for the resurrection to take place, it'll not be Jesus that'll be waved. Jesus will wave over the living bride. And the living bride will wave. And the dead bride will get up. So he responds to that call. And the prophet said he jumped up on a fence post. Whew. Whoa. Maybe he said, I was lost and going to hell. I wasn't deserving of such grace. I was an old pig and I got saved and turned into a sheep. So some of us said. And remember, she's still airborne. Why don't she come down? He don't need her on the ground. He needs her waving. He's done seen grounded birds. He needs to see a flying one. Oh, glory. Don't tell me of a dead creed. Don't tell me of just a bunch of things put together. Show me a living Jesus. Show me a living manifestation of the full word. Wave after wave. Imagine the barometric pressure being low enough where she could get down and just kind of sit there. Dust flying everywhere in that Baptist church. Them chickens, them chickens running around the ground, hogs running, hide, 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 hide. She ain't looking for a chicken sandwich. She's looking for an attribute. This ain't a drive through a Chick-fil-A. She's looking for a song. Jesus may have to bust up a whole coop just to get one eagle out. He's hearing something and he's looking and he's responding. And it's a reaction to an action. And as she's conveying this voice, encouraging him, you're an eagle. You're an eagle. You're an eagle. The quickening power is raising from where? Within him. Lord God. You mean it was in him all along. She didn't have to come down and give him an eagle shot. She didn't have to come down and give him eagle quickening power. It was there. So she waved. You imagine him down in the barnyard taking his little wings. It must have looked funny and felt funny. But he started kind of, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe it said in the closet where nobody couldn't hear him. And then he got real brave one day at service and said, Jesus Christ. And then the more he started looking at that image, the more he started conforming to what he saw. You imagine them little chickens running around, that chicken, that mother hen running around. Here come the pastor, the bishop. Hey, 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 what's going on down here? Hey, 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 hey. Turn them tapes off in that church. That big eagle. That little eagle going down there. Everything she'd do, he'd do. These signs shall follow them that believe. They'll do what I done. His encouragement began to come. His image began to change. He laid aside that chirping. Well, the pastor said the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Diocese of so-and-so and so, he ain't talking that talk no more. But now he's kind of screaming a little bit. Rah! And all of a sudden it hits him. And he says, I'm ready. Maybe kind of starts. Don't y'all look at me. It makes me nervous. But if he needed encouragement, all he had to do is look up here. Come on, sir. Come on, sir. You imagine. He started setting his wings. Now he was waving. Glory! Waving goodbye to Laodicea. Waving goodbye to sickness. Waving goodbye to trouble. He was quickened from the dead. Lord God. You believe it, friends? This is just not a bunch of quotes to me. It's not a bunch of scriptures. It's life. Notice this. Brother Bam said the same Holy Spirit that saved the Lutherans, sanctified the Methodists, baptized the Pentecostals, is now setting in order the coming of the Lord Jesus, when it'll be so powerful that the body will come into this group of the church that'll draw the rest of them from the grave. Lord, mercy. His power will be so powerful in the living body on the earth, it will actually draw the rest of them from the grave. Brother Bim says, and there will be a resurrection. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. Again, he says, God's waiting on me and you. The church is waiting on me and you. Adoption time. When God can pour into us. Notice he doesn't say me. When God can pour into us his fullness, his power, his resurrection. That when the church and Christ become so close together, till Christ becomes visible among us and raises the dead. and we go into the rapture. We move into it, which means it's here. Notice, but it must not be Christ and then the pastor, Christ and the prophet, but Christ in the body. Can't you see why Satan's trying to stop us in this message and only let us go to Brother Branham and stop? The spirit in the church is becoming so close like Jesus till the church and the spirit will unite together and the resurrection will come. Listen what he calls you. Morning lights. Oh, you stars of the morning.
Hallelujah.
Now he projects from the luminaries of the heavens as the morning stars forerun the coming sun. So the brightness of the church will forerun his millennium. You morning stars. Let me close. The cap's coming on the pyramid. It's the end time when Christ and his church is so much alike. Listen to this. Till it is going to call the dead. Lord, children, can we believe this? From the Methodist, the Lutheran, and all those back there. And there will be a resurrection. When Christ so joins together with his church that it will call for the dead. What's it going to be? He reappears as Son of Man in the last days with the fullness in order to get in a body. And in that body, he'll wave that mature body and they'll wave and the dead will come forth. If you're wanting to produce a resurrection, what would you use? You would use resurrected people. Lord Jesus. And there will be a resurrection. Then that fell asleep in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh watch will arise one of these days to meet Jesus in the air, the skies. The hour has arrived. Quickened from the dead. You reckon that little eagle would ever want to go back to that hen house? Reckon that little eagle ever will go back down under that dominion of that? No, sir, brother, sister. A person that's really born again and passed from death unto life. Oh, this old flesh can still be tempted and bothered and aggravated and all that. But from their soul, they have crossed from time over into eternity. They've moved over into the eighth day in time. They're still in the church age and time. They're still in the elements of time all around them. But inside, they're back to the first day of the week again. They're back to where they started. He couldn't let you come to this earth with the knowledge that you pre-existed before you got saved. But he didn't say nothing about after you got saved. Glory to God. Woo, glory! He couldn't let you come here and be born a mortal unless you know you existed before. But he didn't say nothing about after you got quickened. He couldn't let you know it. Lord Jesus, let's bow our heads if you would. Merciful God, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to see this word. It unfolded to Brother Branham, even as he went on in time. I found it amazing this morning when I went to looking at the words quickening power, that the majority of the times that he mentioned them was in the Easter seal and rising of the sun. Mentions it one time in 63. And then it was like the last year of his life. It exploded. May it explode to us, Lord. You led him along in stages. May we not be offended by that. But may we follow along. Lead us, Lord. Like the little eagle. Your prophet has told us that as we feed upon the word, we're changed into the word image. So as that little eagle was feeding on the word of his mama, he was being changed, transformed into her image. He was an eagle, but he was dead in a sense, lost. Lost to his identity, lost to her, lost to his power, lost to the heavens. All he knew was a barnyard diet.
So he was in a lost condition because he was born under a hen. So that's what made him lost. It didn't make him a chicken. May they see, when we talk about being lost, it simply means the conditions we were born in. We were born lost. We were not born a goat and changed to a sheep, but we were born in a lost condition. Like if we were born in Tennessee, we would be Tennesseans. Born in Kentucky, we'd be from Kentucky. Born in Europe, we'd be Europeans, British, whatever it was. So being born in that certain place gives us an identity. So him being hatched out under that hen, he was born lost. But all it took was a recognition. Then that mama, when she got him up in the air, she could look over to her son and say, "This is my son. He was dead, but he is alive again. He was lost, but he's found." Oh, how he must have felt as he went soaring to the heavens, screaming to the top of his voice, climbing higher and higher, looking down upon that place where he used to be from, now in heavenly places. Help us, Lord Jesus. Maybe there's some here today and they've been around the message maybe all their life. They've never really went beyond the second realm. They've never made it beyond the seven branch candlestick. All their focus has just been on the church ages and the church age messengers. And as I said it last night, we'll never produce a rapture by preaching messages of the church ages alone. This is an end time. A bride coming. Paul didn't need to preach a bride coming of Christ because they never had a bride coming like we did. But in the Alpha bride, Jesus himself come to wave over them. Then will it not be the same in the Omega bride? You did not just come to Paul and wave yourself over Paul, but you come and waved yourself among the body. So she is Alpha and Omega. Lord Jesus, open our eyes. Open our eyes. May we feel strength in our wings. May we not look to the church. May we not look to this preacher and that preacher and this hypocrite and that hypocrite. People get their eyes on hypocrites and get their eyes off the Word. Sure, there's hypocrites that come here, devils and everything else. And I ain't come here looking for them. I came here looking for you. Hallelujah. May I keep my eyes on you, Jesus. When I get weak and I feel like I can't make it no farther. Oh, not that I want to give up on you, but just the work you've charged me to do. May I set my eyes heavenly toward not my mama, but where my father is. Waving this word over me. Wave after wave. And Brother Graham says the resurrection will kick in. It will be wave after wave after wave. Adam will reach over, take a hold of Eve. Eve reach over and take a hold of Abel. Abel reach over and take a hold of Seth. Seth reach over, take a hold of Noah. Wave after wave. How come they're waving? Because the living saints is waving over them. Praise God. We love you today, Father. Hallelujah. You love him, saints, with all your heart. Can we raise our hands in his presence? Let's just love him now. Oh, my. Brother Darrell, Brother David, and Brother Danny Therese is leaving Tuesday for Nicaragua for a meeting there. We want to pray for them today. If those brothers would just come up before they go, God will go before them. Maybe there's some young hearts down there have never been quickened. May they see Jesus waving his great eagle wings in the ministry of our brothers to be able to visit them. But we can't leave until the last one's brought in. Let's pray for them, shall we? Heavenly Father, as we stand here today, Lord, if Satan ever hated the ministry, he hates it now. Lord God, because he knows handing out Bibles is good. Handing out tracts, handing out books and tapes is wonderful. But Lord, the seed is in the body, not on a tape player. The seed is in the body, not in a written Bible or a written tract.
So the word must be made flesh, not made on a tape or made in a tract before it becomes effective. Help my brothers, Lord. Go before them, I pray, Lord Jesus. May you watch over them as they journey to and from. Lord, may you anoint them, I pray, Lord God. Hallelujah. May the quickening power of Jesus Christ, hallelujah to God. May they not see American brothers. May they not see brothers from the United States. But may they hear the voice of the Creator. May they hear the voice of Father God. May you anoint them. May you direct their study. May you direct them, I pray, Heavenly Father. May you help Brother Danny, Lord, as he interprets for them. May the Spirit of God anoint them. May they come back with a great report of what you have done. Oh, Jesus, grant it, I pray, Lord God. In Jesus Christ's name. Grant it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Now remember, he said those words to you. Because I live, you live also, sweetheart. All fear of missing the rapture and being lost is gone. It's because I'm beginning to know he holds my future, because he held my destiny. Life is worth a living just. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Go in the fear of God. He lives. No matter what you face, you can face tomorrow. Sickness, trouble, loss of your job, your home. Because he lives. He lives. Oh, my fear of being lost is gone. Yeah.